Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Thursday. It's been a minute since we've been here on Thirsty Thursday, Joe. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Rate, review, subscribe if you would. It makes you a whole lot cooler if you do. Just like all the other really great, cool people who have done so already, we appreciate all of you. Syracuse gets handed their first loss of the year, 79-69 against 21st-ranked Rutgers. The Orange will sit at 3-1 after that game. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you in fan feedback. Plus, Syracuse will be taking on Boston College. Last I saw it was 1 p.m. on Saturday, their second road game of the season. We'll let you know what we think as Joe dives into that. And a little bit of football news as we will before we get the show started officially. And, you know, a bunch of fake portal transfer news out there. It was reported Josh Black was going to enter the transfer portal. That's not true. And it was also reported by Cuse Water Cooler that we were going to enter the podcast portal. Also, not true. We are here to stay.
I didn't hear that.
We are here to, just because you're not on Twitter, Joe. And yeah. We are here to say, I would just like to say, these vicious rumors have no validity. And, you know, we're here for you guys. We are. It was rumored we were going to cover mixed bowling on Wednesday nights, which would be great. I enjoy bowling, but there's not enough cats up
not watching
in the world to get me there, I don't think. No. Yeah, not watch it. No, playing it. Absolutely. All right. So the real transfer news is that just now, before we came on, we found out defensive back Cam Jones, tight end Aaron Hackett, running back Markenzie Pierre, and defensive end Jason Munoz, they're all going to enter the transfer portal. So Josh Black and Aaron Service have both announced that they will be coming back to play for Syracuse next year. So obviously those are going to be big, and we'll look forward to seeing them. I think both coming back for a 6 year. So, right? Well, Black is, right? I don't know if Service is.
Yeah, Black is. No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So anyways, huge. That's kind of a big deal. So, you know, we knew, you know, with all of the like you said, Joe, the transfer portal is going to be clogged up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be clogged up, and you're probably going to see these drills. We're probably going to have to do a couple every episode for a little bit, and then, you know, it'll work itself out, and we'll find out what's going on, and then we'll get into the fun part, which is getting into
the additions.
Yeah, the additions. So we wish those guys good luck in the transfer portal. Obviously, you know, we support their decision to do so, and I'm sure it was a mutual decision between coach and the players and talked it out and all that good stuff. Right. So,
well, we don't really know the reasoning, right?
Sure.
They could be because of, like, graduate school or something to do with school, and maybe they want to study something that Syracuse doesn't offer. Maybe they want to go closer to home. Who knows if, you know, some of these guys. But Markenzie Pierre Hackett, they've been around to the point where you don't even know if they have, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say that they do, but there has been instances in the past, Chris McCullough, where you know, you go and you leave because, you know, you got stuff going on as far as babies and girlfriends and stuff, right? So you don't want to speculate on why they left, but I'm happy with to see that Servais and Black are staying. I think those are two guys that definitely are going to help next year. Mackenzie Pierre really didn't – he helped us. He was a great special teams guy for 4 years, but he really – I mean, he didn't really step in. And I mean, obviously, Cooper Lutz and Sean Tucker took that over, so he wants to probably go somewhere where he can play. And same thing with Aaron Hackett. So, yeah, and Cam Jonas, that was probably the one that – I would have liked to seen stay the most. I know he didn't get that much burn this year, and I know that we have a lot of young up-and-coming D-backs, and maybe that's why he decided to go. But, yeah, and Munoz, he I think he's from Florida, and I think he decommitted to, from Miami when the coaching change came through and then committed to Syracuse, and then he redshirted this year. So we really haven't even seen too much of him, and who knows the reasoning for that as well. But the biggest one would be Cam Jonas. But again, we're deep there. So far, so good, knock on wood, as far as who we're losing with the whole transfer portal thing. And then obviously who's staying with that extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see how it shakes out. Let's get into everything. Here is what Coach had to say after the game. Take it away, Coach.
First of all, Rutgers is a really good defensive team. They're really got a lot of good players. Defense, got the big guys in the back. I thought when we executed, we really got some good shots, some good looks. We caught them switching and doubling, and we got in, got layups. Thought Kadari did a really good job first game on the road against a really good team. Quincy, we've known that he can make threes. He just, he hasn't, but he showed tonight that he can do it in games. Rec got us off to a good start. I think our biggest problem is defensively. We get screened, or we just aren't doing a good job at the front of the zone. And when they get in, the forwards are not doing a good job of helping Marek in the lane. Guys shouldn't be able to get layups, and that's on the forwards to get back in there and help. I thought we made a good, really good move back at the end of the first half, down 10 to get it to 4. I think he got frustrated, took a couple long threes, and Allen took a couple long threes that we can't take. Those are not good shots. But yeah, Joe's, they're guarding him. They're wherever he is, there's going to be a guy on him trying to get him off the line. That's what everybody's going to do. He's going to see that all year. He's got to play through that. And there's some games he might not get shots. North Carolina last year, in the end of the year, he had one shot, made 3 points, but he had 9 assists and no turnovers. And his defense was better. His defense was really bad tonight. They drove on him consistently the whole night, a little bit on Kadari too, but they drove Joe consistently all night. And he can't get lost up in the fact that he's having a bad offensive game and let it affect his defensive game. He's got to be better on defense, period. When we're at American Center, we're going to have problems on the boards against good rebounding teams. That's just the way it's going to be, but our young centers are nowhere near ready to play. And, we see that every day in practice. So I thought John Bold did a pretty good job in there. He moved around, he got a rebound. He made a couple good passes, drew a charge. I thought he did some positive things out there. I feel really good right now from what I've seen. We're 4 games in and we've done a lot of good things. It's difficult playing without Barama and Buddy, but, we're going to. Ryder was ahead the whole game at St. John's tonight. Bryant is beaten by people scoring 100 points. They're pretty good. Those teams are better than people would want to give them credit for. But the Ryder game's a good indication of when we really play well and move the ball, and we can do some good things. But this is a good team we played. We're down 10. and came back and took the lead on their court. That's good. We did make mistakes, and you make mistakes every game, win or lose.
All right, the coach montage is brought to us by Bet Online. Bet Online, the title sponsor for the Cuse Militia, for Tie Thoughts, for Armchair Media. Now, you might not be able to get to a game this year, but you can still get in on all of the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today. Use the promo code Armchair and take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. And thank you for the Christmas guitar instrumental. I love it. You know, thank me. You're welcome. All right. So, Joe.
Sir.
The good. Look, and, you know, just reading headlines, I know this might not headlines in everybody's comments. I know this might be popular to say after a loss, but when you're missing your starting center and your starting point guard and you play your first game on the road against a ranked team, there's a good chance you get absolutely smoked. So despite the loss, I see a lot of positives coming out of this game just four games in. One of those, obviously, Alan Griffin, team high 20 points, 8 rebounds. Quincy, again, doing his thing with 18 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. Richmond, despite only scoring 6 points, he had 5 steals and 7 assists, which is all good, all good. The bad, again, with the sloppy play on offense, earned 12 turnovers for Rutgers, 6 of them from our guy Griffin. Got to be a little bit more careful with the ball. Outside shooting struggles, 7 of 26 for 26.9% from beyond the arc. Gerard leading the misses again. He was 1 for 6. The ugly. I know we're still plugging holes right now, and I'm hoping that when all of this ends, we won't have to worry about the defense as much, especially collapsing defense into the center of the paint with just a little bit of ball movement, and you just let one guy go off from beyond the arc. This is an all too familiar story for us. It is predictable. Harper, 5 for 8 from 3 in a game high of 26 points. And finally, Rutgers was plus 16 on the boards. And this is going to be a struggle as long as we don't, as long as we're playing without Sidibe, you know, let alone him being back 100%. So, that's it. The good, the bad, the ugly, Joe. I not the prettiest game, and of course we would have liked to have our first game on the road be a win, but Rutgers, they've been getting ready for Syracuse for a couple weeks. Actually, their last game they played was on November 29th. They started the season, they played like 3 games in 5 days or something like that, and then they had all that time to prepare for Syracuse, so they've been hitting their practices every day, kind of simulating what the hell they were going to see. And, you know, Syracuse did a good job, too, coming back from 10 down to within 4 at half, and then took the lead in the second, and then just slow decline after that. Some bad shots. Poor shot selection.
Yeah, and you're looking at a team of Rutgers who they've had, obviously, the best big man and the biggest big man that that we've dealt with, right? So Sidibe not being there, of course, that hurts. Obviously, Buddy Boeheim, not a point guard, but somebody who we can rely on scoring a certain amount of points every game.
Well, when he's
missing him,
he gets hot.
Right. And realistically, I mean, Joe can do the same thing, but I think that Buddy's more consistent as far as getting into a certain scoring range. You know, Joe can go for 20 something, or he can go for what he did against Rutgers. Right. And I think that's partly because of the guard, you know, just fast guards give him problems.
Yeah, his defense is sometimes an issue for sure.
Well, and again, we talked about Young and how fast he was, and I just knew that he was going to be a problem, obviously, with Joe, but then also with getting into the lane, and we could obviously see that. Looking at the turnovers, they had 5 more than us.
17 to 12.
They just hit a couple threes. I think the game plan for what we have and everything was good, you know, a non-3-point shooting team, and kind of forced the team to shoot free throws, right? I mean, I think they shot, or it's not free throws, 3-pointers. They shot more than double the 3-pointers that they have in the previous 3 games. So
Yeah, they were only at like 40-something, right? For the whole first three games, they were at 24 for this
12
game.
12 of 41 or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. So, right. And they shoot up 24. And just so happens that they had a guy, Ron Harper, make 5 out of 8. And they actually shot a better percentage than they have the whole season. And obviously that's not going to happen every game, but that obviously has something to do with our defense as well. So
that happens, though, a lot to us. And he hit his first 5 in a row. I believe he hit the five he hit.
Well, he was on fire, and that was the guy that we had to make sure. You know, we had to make other guys beat us, and we didn't do that. And part of that is probably youth. But again, we're having issues with the penetrating guards that come in and get to the lane and then kick out because they just as long as they're at the offense or his teammates, they rotate to the open spots, then you're going to have open threes all day long. So that's obviously stuff they got to fix. But to what Jim alluded to, just the people that we're missing and, who we're playing with and against that type of talent, because I believe Rutgers is a pretty solid team. I liked what I saw. I mean, at the end of the game, would they finish like a 16-3 run or something like that? I mean, we came back from 10 and took the lead. So we're only going to get better.
Yeah, look, when I'm watching the game and see we get the lead and I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. We're going to come down the stretch, make this thing close. And I got, so it was upsetting to watch. It pissed me off. I was furious. And I get furious with Syracuse basketball more than football. First of all, it's faster pace and things happen faster, right? So there's more emotion in it for me involved, So I was just irate. But because the game was so late and I was flustered, I just laid there, right? You're just laying there, basically. I can't get to sleep. So I was thinking, I'm like, really? We lost by 10, but it was a late collapse. They really did fight. I think, we're out two starters, like I said. I mean, big picture, guys, I think that as far as coming into this game as the litmus test so far for the year, right, that we look at it and we're like, well, let's see what we got. If Rutgers is really a top 25 team, which is questionable to me, then we did pretty damn good on the road. What do you think? You think they are, Joe?
I'm just saying that's kind of just downgrading us, right? I mean, why are you saying they're not a top 25 team?
Well, I'm saying that because of how well I think we did. In other words, if they are really a top 25 team, then I think Syracuse is going to be okay. If they're not, if it turns out, they go belly up in the Big Ten, then, I guess, maybe we're worse off at this point than we thought.
Well, and the Big Ten gave ACC a whooping.
Yeah, what was it? I was going to ask you because I know that Clemson won. And someone who beat Miami, Florida State. Okay, all right, and Florida State. Okay, so
those are the only three that I saw. NC State's got canceled. So okay. I mean, the Big Ten took it pretty easily, and Big Ten they were pretty good last year too. Rutgers was a tournament team last year.
Yeah, they absolutely were, and that's what their ratings basically are based off of so far this year. Right, it was last year's performance.
And who they return and who they have coming in and everything like that. So for all intents and purposes. I don't really see. I mean, I look at Rutgers as a tournament team.
I think they're a tournament team. Sure.
The first real hard competition. I mean, I know Bryant was close as far as the score, but they didn't have the size and the type of defense that Rutgers has and what, most Power Five and conference teams are going to bring, right?
And by the way, you heard Coach mention Ryder. I put that in there. That montage was longer than I remember it, by the way. But anyway, that's my bad. I tried to keep them around 2.5 minutes. But anyway, Ryder gave St. John's all they could handle. St. John's just barely beat Ryder. We smoked them. So, I mean, just for some perspective there, and, we talked about Rutgers coming into this game. This was their first real test, too. Let's be honest. I mean, they didn't play anybody else coming into this game. We were their first real test. They were ours. They came out on top. They were at home. How much advantage is that? I have no idea. It's got to be a little bit. They've had almost two, November 29th, we played them on the, what was it? It was the...
Eighth.
Okay, so... 11 days thereabouts to prepare for us. Meanwhile, we played a few games in between then. In fact, we played two games. I'm sorry. So, you know, I think getting to focus on one team for 11 days, you know, you don't get that luxury usually during a basketball season. You get maybe 6 days, right? You don't usually get 11. So, advantage Rutgers. That's my point. So, all right. It's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, you guys know what to do. Go to the socials after the game, and you will see us post for your thoughts on the game. Leave those thoughts, and we will shuffle through them and either randomly pick them because we are in a hurry, or we may actually read some and pick them based on their merit. But let me tell you something. For everybody needs to step up their game because if I do have the time, I am going through to read these, and I want the best of the best because I'm not trying to pat us on the back or anything, but the basketball fans have come out of the woodwork, and they are ready to leave their comments. I don't know if they all listen, but it doesn't much matter. A comment's a comment, and there's plenty of responses, so we are not in any shortage of that. By the way, when we first started the show, too, it's funny because we would try to get people's comments, and of course, it was a little difficult. But we went everywhere else. We went to Syracuse's official basketball page for comments. Now we can't even handle what we got, which is awesome. So thank you,
right?
At Nick Feely on Twitter, positive has to simply be all the young players that got experience. Biggest negative for me is that is old. Folks, that is old. It's old. That is football. At Kevin McKenzie 11, saw some good, promising things. Kadari didn't light up the scoreboard, but he is a hell of a player. Guerriere and Griffin are ballers. Doley is steady. Gerard is a liability. Getting Buddy back will be huge. Maybe Gerard can provide a spark off the bench with Newton. So, this is the talk coming into Boston College, and we're going to see, Joe, is it Buddy and Kadari, or will Kadari and Buddy out there in the backcourt? Because, you know, Joe has not been stellar, and Kadari has. I feel like Kadari has made the most of the minutes he's played as a freshman. His defense is awesome, and we don't know what it looks like with him and Buddy in there, really, that much at all. And because of the length of both of them, we need help on defense. I really think that coming into Boston College, unfortunately, I think Joe's going to be sitting on the bench. What do you think?
There's going to be instances. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't just start Joe and Buddy to begin with, but I think he's still kind of in a situation where we didn't have exhibition games, didn't have as many non-conference games. And I know it's a conference game, but I still believe that Jim's going to still sub people out and try to mess with certain lineups. You know, with Buddy being out, I think that some people stepped up and showed that they can play and they can help. And I think that he's going to be intrigued to see what these lineups look like with Buddy in there. I completely agree with the whole Kadari Richmond thing. Playing against, you know, I was a little, I don't want to say skeptical, but I was just worried and nervous that maybe it was because of a situation with just lesser talent that he was maybe playing better or doing better things. But those passes that he had, 5 steals, like you said.
Yes, passes.
I mean, what do you have? I mean, what do you have? 6 turnovers? But, I mean, you can kind of be okay with that when you get five steals, right?
No, Kadari only had 2 turnovers. According to ESPN.
No, only two. Okay, I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't see that. Yeah. It's Alan Griffin had 6 turnovers.
Yeah,
sorry.
Alan Griffin had six. Yeah.
The 2 turnovers to 5 steals and the assists and the passes that he had to some of his teammates.
6 points. 6 points is what you're thinking. Like, he didn't score a lot, but he did facilitate.
No, and he's not going to. Not his freshman year, but he facilitates very, very well. And on top of that, that length in the top of the defense, whether it's a steal or whether it's a rebound and then a kick out to him, he gets it and he goes. And it's transition and it's running and fast break basketball. And that was Syracuse. I remember
that was
time
Syracuse
that was
growing
Syracuse.
Up. That's all we did. Fast break basketball.
Johnny Flynn.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's just, that's what it was.
from the mid to late 80s on to, you know, I feel like, I mean, I'm probably wrong because you remember things so differently as time goes on, but I feel like that didn't really stop up until about maybe like 6-7 years ago, something like that. 5-6 years ago, something like that. You know,
I think it's something that he always wants to do, but like, what do you, I mean, do you have the personnel to do it?
Right. And that was our problem. And we've talked about it 100 times with the scholarships we lost. Like, that hurt us so much more than I thought it was going to. You don't think so?
I mean, we still
made some Final Four runs and things like that.
We made a Final Four run. Like, we still made a tournament. And
he was doing everything he could, though. And that just goes to when people start talking about Jim Boeheim's coaching ability, you can point to that. Because there's not many coaches, I don't think, personally, that are going to be able to do that.
No, there's a lot of teams where that happens and you go down to the cellar for quite a while.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
At Cuse Grad, the last 3 minutes was effed. We had this in the bag, really poor shot selection. Well, when we were up, and it was some quick trip, some one-and-dones, and some
sloppy play
and some transitions that really went well for Rutgers. And like you heard Coach say, they were letting some stuff inside on our defense that they really shouldn't be. And you just felt and saw the momentum shift. It was a lot of it was speed, I think, too, towards the end of that game. And, you know, the shot selection I was a little upset with. I'm shooting threes in a situation like that when you're up.
Deep threes.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, these kids, they got the earful. They got the glare. They know that wasn't right. But at the end of the day, too, you play the other side of that and you're like, well, if Joe Girard hits that one or Alan Griffin hits that one, then they're heroes, right? So it's like...
Or if Rutgers just shoots their percentage, right?
Exactly.
Or if you just get on Ron Harper Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So
at Orange Faithful, losing to a top 25 team on the road without two starters makes sense. Struggled with the shot selection, zone rotation, Mark, early foul trouble, and Joe looking more like the first two games... #free Buddy Boeheim. So, yeah, I mean, that's it pretty much. The Mark really got it going though early, and you thought that he was just going to be on fire. And then he does very Mark things, and all of a sudden he's got two fouls, and he's got to play with two fouls for the rest of the first half. You know, so, and that's that in a nutshell.
Yeah, and there was some unfortunate offensive rebounds and, like, long rebounds that we didn't get to. And, again, you have 2 6'11 guys on Rutgers where they can just, you know, sub in and out, and they're both, like, God, at least 50 pounds heavier than Mark.
The whole thought process was to get those guys in foul trouble, and we really only managed to get three out of their starter there. Omar Yuri, or why'd I even try? Why did I even try?
I don't know, but I love it. Keep going.
I don't know.
No, I know. You were pretty close.
I had to have been a little close. Only three fouls on him, though. And, you know, it is what it is. It's just...
Yeah, I think he got some quick fouls, and they brought in Johnson, and Johnson...
And Johnson got four,
really
too.
Good.
Yeah, he got four. He ended up with four.
No, he ended up with four, but he had 11 points, 12 rebounds. So, I mean, pretty good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, having that size in there, it's tough because we don't have a lot of guys that can finish down low unless we run certain things. Again, a lot of that's Kadari Richmond. Kadari Richmond, to me, brings a different type of option of basketball to the game. And, I mean, I spoke about it, I don't even know, after the first game, after the second game, something like that, after Niagara, that I thought that it was only a matter of time before he starts, or at least gets significant minutes, but I feel like defensively he's the best guard, and I feel like offensively he's the best point guard. I think along the lines that we have Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard. We have two shooting guards, different sizes, that are up there trying to fill the point guard spot. So.
Yeah, and then we haven't really had a true point guard for a minute, so. At K Nabiwaniak, Girard a slower, less athletic version of Trevor Cooney? Both were touted as great shooters in high school, but struggle to shoot well in many college games. Both are capable of going for 3 for 30 every game. In his defense, Trevor was definitely a much better defender, though. I've made the comparison to Cooney with Joe before, but just in the aspect of him being a streaky shooter. Like, when he starts good, he usually finishes good. That's how Trevor was. And I don't know, man. There's a lot there that's kind of the same thing. They're both not real big guys, you know. But
I don't know.
You don't know.
To me, Trevor was way more athletic than Joe. I mean, he was going up and dunking.
He
was like 6'3", and I felt like his energy and his motor was always there, no matter how bad he was shooting.
Well, to Kyle's point, his defense was better than Joe's. Let's be honest. Joe's.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Struggles to get going with his shooting and on defense. He gets burned all the time on defense.
To me, like I said, Cooney's motor was just crazy. And we've talked to Tyler about this, and he's, you know, he was friends with Cooney and stuff like that. And he was just, I mean, he was a crazy athlete as far as being able to go up there and dunk. I believe he was 6'2", 6'3", so he was taller than Joe. And it's just, it didn't matter how he was shooting or playing. He always had the energy, and he kept going, going, going. And to me, it just seems like Joe lets his offensive game kind of dictate or get in his head for the defensive game. If he's not shooting good, it looks like he's out of it. Doesn't it look like it to you?
Yeah, it looks like he's just that, or? No, he's a deer in the headlights when he can't get done. When he can't hit his shot,
just seems like he gets down on himself. I mean, it's a body language thing. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But
no, I feel like there's some,
you know what I'm saying,
that.
Right? Like, yeah, sometimes totally. You get a little body language thing where it's, you know, people don't know that they're doing it, but you're showing it. And maybe that's not the case.
He looks bummed. He looks bummed out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's, you know, obviously, you just got to
you score that many points, man. Score that many points in high school and get to where he is now, you know. And that's frustrating.
And I know fans are frustrated with Joe. And it's kind of one of those things where, I mean, he's going to this. I feel like this will end. This isn't going to be his career. I really do.
No,
you know,
I really think he's out of position. I really do believe that. I don't. All this talk about like, oh, Power Five conference, I don't know, you know, he's not a Power Five player and everything. I absolutely think so, without a doubt, that he is a Power Five player. He's on a team that he should be on. He can play in the ACC. I just think that sometimes you give a player certain responsibilities that they might not be, you know, they might not be used to doing, or maybe they're just not comfortable in that role. And I just don't know if necessarily that's the best role for him as far as being a point guard, being a facilitator, because he wants to shoot. He wants to put up those points. And that's just kind of the player he is.
He needs to be set up. He needs to be facilitated.
Right. Yes. And maybe there's just a lot of pressure on him right now. Maybe it would make sense to have him come off the bench, start Kadari, start Buddy, a taller, you know, lineup, and have him come in, you know, with subs, or if he's playing against maybe tired starters, and come out there and go out there and say, all right, go rip the Nets, bud. No pressure.
Yeah.
You're coming off the bench. Sometimes it does a world for people's confidence.
And coach realizes better than us. We're not coach. And he realizes how hard he's getting guarded. You know, and he realizes that's probably a lot of his problem, because everybody knows he can shoot. So,
and I can only imagine how he's seen him shoot in practice.
Right.
There's probably days where he don't miss. Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's a game
situation. I'm not poo-pooing on Joe. It's just we got some talent, and we've seen some younger guys that have, in normal instances, not get this many minutes against these type of teams. And they've shown that they can do some things. So he's got some options, you know?
Yeah. All right. Time to take a quick break. We will get right back to fan feedback. But first, we got to hear from the good folks over at Bet Online one more time. Now, look, you may not be able to get to a game inside the dome this year, or may not, unless you're James Zuba, who just who knows where this guy is sneaking in from. And I mean, it's insane. It is. It's insane that this guy gets to get in there while we all have to watch it on TV. It's sickening, actually. That's okay, though. It's actually not okay, but you can still get in on all the action this year at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. Now, look, got a little Christmas music. You know, it's Christmas time. Or it's, you know, whatever. It's Hanukkah. Hanukkah started today. So it's time to gear up. Get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer doesn't cut the nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. Now, why would you use it in the shower? I don't know, but you can. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand-new Perfect Package 3.0. Makes the perfect holiday gift this season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling great below the belt. And don't use, as you know, the same trimmer on your face as you would below the belt. It's nasty. Don't do it. Just thought I'd reiterate. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver. This is anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. The Perfect Package 3.0 will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those used pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to manscape. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your buddy, your co-host, the best gift of all. Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the promo code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Make Santa proud. Clean yourself up. Look. Do it. Go there now. Thank you, Manscaped. All right. At one Kev Nash, he gets his own good, bad, and the ugly in here. I love this. Short and sweet. Good, blown away by the improvement of Quincy's jump shot. Bad, nobody to help score the ball. No Sidibe for at least a month. And ugly, JG3 is not in rhythm at all. And to Joe's point, you know, the rhythm thing could be just because he's just trying to play a different role than what he should be, or maybe what he's used to. Well done. Yep. Well done, Kev. Appreciate it. Okay, here we go. Goodness gracious. I can't believe I picked some of these. Hold on. Hold on. They're so
long. I'm just saying, look, Quincy, at the same time, he can't fall in love to what Jim Boeheim said, and I don't know if you played it on the montage, but he talked about Quincy basically falling in love with his jump shot and his three-pointer. So that kind of took him away from the basket. And yes, he made some threes, but he does have to understand that he is a monster on the boards, and we need him down there. So he's going to have to make sure that he keeps his offensive game as diverse as possible.
Yeah, and Quincy scored a lot, 5 rebounds. But yeah, he's going to be our saving grace down low. He's going to have to be, you know, that guy, especially while Sidibe's out. And I just hope he comes back stronger than ever, Sidibe. Jesse on Facebook, Gerard is too inconsistent. Kadari looks great. He's very unselfish and the best passer we've had since Michael Carter Williams. Great point, Joe. We talked about the passing. He had some passes that I was like nervous when they were made, and and he's getting assists off, and I'm like, man, this is beautiful. But they just look like they're not going to the place. But he's got great vision with his passes. And he's got chemistry with those guys, too, that, you know, we're 4 games in, bro. You think about how many more games we got to play and how much better that could get.
Just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong or bad.
Yeah, right.
That's a situation where he's just a little bit different. He's unorthodox. His game is a little different. And you have to understand, too, he didn't even really get put in the point guard role in high school until 1 or 2 years ago. Like, he's not even really that far into that. So he's not going out there looking to score. He's a very humble, quiet kid, and he's going to do what he needs to do to get playing time. If that means going out there and getting 5 steals and, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 assists a game and not care about that scoring column, then, you know, that's what we need, you know? And again, that's where the fans see. That's what the fans see. The fans see Gerard in his body language in 1 and 8, and they're like, that's the point guard. And I'm again, I don't want to make it seem like we're beating up on Joe, because I know he can come out and he can light it up. But I truly believe that he's basically a shooting guard set up in a point guard's body. And he did what he had to do last year. And I don't know if, you know, you get an incoming freshman like Kadari, you don't know how long or you know, it's going to take for him to get ready or what he's going to be. Right. But he's got the chance to show out. And now that you see this, I think that's a great opportunity to bring Kadari in and use Joe for what you're supposed to use him for. And that's off the bench, ripping the nets, no pressure, man.
Yeah. Jesse goes on, 7 assists and so many passes that led to open shots that didn't fall, not to mention his defense leading to transition buckets, and he can get to the rest. He's much better at point guard, and he's a freshman. I would rather have someone giving teammates open looks and consistent D rather than have an occasional 30-point game from Joe. So, I mean, he goes on. But the point being is I mentioned it in the last show, he does a lot of things that don't make the stat sheet. And, you know, some of those would-be assists were, you know, issues at the rim. Like, we talked about that in the last episode.
He had some great passes that turned into great dunks that we haven't seen certain plays like that, you know? Yeah. They look like set plays, but it's just them out there picking and moving. Going to the spots.
Yeah, basically.
Alan Griffin getting a dunk, Quincy getting a dunk, you know, and it's, like I said, as far as Joe goes, I mean, we have to think about Joe came in last year. I thought he was going to redshirt. Everyone thought Jalen Carey was going to be a point guard. Howard Washington was going to be the backup. Bryson Godin was going to be maybe shooting guard, point guard, right? I mean, no one was thinking about, I mean, Joe Girard was ranked lower than those guys. So for him to come in and do what he did and play how he played last year, you know, kudos to him for sure. But now that we might have somebody here that can come in and say, hey, now we got a point guard, we can move Joe to where we really brought him in for, then,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Top fan Daryl. First, I'm tired of people defending Joe Girard. Joe has been absolutely terrible this season. I was laughing to myself as I started to read this. And so, anyway, Daryl, I love you, dude. I'm pretty sure tonight Joe had more turnovers and missed baskets than points. Well, yeah, he absolutely did. He did. Syracuse beat themselves. Rutgers didn't beat us. The team took entirely too many bad shots and had some really stupid turnovers. Rutgers, the entire first half, just kept driving the ball into the paint and just kept kicking out for the three balls. Yeah, we talked about it. That was obviously their strategy, and that's going to be the strategy for everybody going forward, is to drive that ball, kick it out to a guy who can make an open three. And they've got to just be disciplined. And it's hard because you're just the flock to the ball. You just got to be disciplined, right? I guess, to just stay in your spot. You know, you have to be there. Someone has to be there. At least if you're getting hands up or something. I mean, Harper was getting open. Like, I mean, I think maybe even I'd hit the rim at least. You know,
yeah, and that's my biggest worry, is that, like, as a coach, I know that they were telling him, like, don't leave this guy open.
Yes.
This is the one guy that you can't leave open, and he still got open and made shots. And that's like my one biggest concern about that.
Yeah. Daryl goes on. I'm sorry. We've talked on these so much that I want to get to at least a couple more here before we do Boston College. Steve on Facebook, JG3 working his way to the bench, slow on D, poor shot selection. D did stiffen in second half. Bench contributions a positive. Overall work in progress. Buddy comes back and no more Rona problems. This may be a good season. Well, that's key, right? So we know what they are doing as far as the contact tracing and all of these things. As far as we know, the protocols are still in place as far as a 14-day quarantine, and they've just got to be careful. Obviously, if they want to play and have a successful season, they're going to have to be extra careful. You know, the bench, I feel really good about it this year. You know, even playing Rutgers, I didn't think he'd play as many guys as he did. I thought he'd keep it a little bit tighter, maybe six or maybe seven. Well, they really didn't. I mean, he had a Jacques in there. And Woody Newton, you know, Woody Newton, too, making the most out of his 9 minutes with 6 points, too. We didn't have mentioned him yet. really impressive. Right. And you've got these two freshmen in Richmond and Newton who are just going to be stellar, I think. By at some point in this year, I think Newton shines more than he does now even. You know, his minutes are only going to go up, in my opinion. Jason, you have anything to say about that?
No, I mean, they could. It really just depends on if once Sidibe comes back. I mean, Mark and Quincy are still going to have 30-plus points a game, but...
Minutes?
Minutes. But it's good to know that we got a freshman that can shoot three. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Jason, on Facebook, what did Dolezal and Girard do? Got two bench players when they are playing like crap. Ball should have been in Griffin's hands every time down the last 4 minutes. He was the hot hand, and I don't think he really shot. And maybe once in the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't a lot. And I guess he either wasn't getting open looks or people were trying to do too much everywhere else. But the problem is you can't just bench Dolezal because you really don't. Someone that can play defense like Dolezal has got to stay out there. And you heard Coach in the montage let everybody know that he hasn't seen anything from the young centers yet, and even in practice. So he's going to obviously know more than us on the level of skill of some of these younger guys. And
right. The
key obviously is going to be Sidibe. And that was just an unfortunate situation with him. But looking at it from the 30,000 foot view, we talked about it before, that whole thing with Sidibe could have been a whole lot worse. And, you know, we just wish him a speedy recovery with the meniscus. And, you know, get him back, and we'll see how it goes. But those freshmen, not even freshmen with a couple of them, but they're going to have to step up. I mean, Braswell, well, Ajak is going, obviously, is looking like the one that's going to be the one stepping in there, right? If anybody.
So far.
Yeah. And, you know, Anselm had some shots or some opportunities, but looks like Jean Bolajac, and we'll just have to see. And
it can go game to game.
I know. It's going to be just...
It's all going to depend on what he sees in practice.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Thank you to everybody who participated in fan feedback. We appreciate all of you and some really good stuff there. Like I said, you know, keep it tight. Keep it unique, and that's what I'm looking for because there's a lot of them now. There's a lot of them, so it's hard. It's so hard to choose, and I try to be as fair as possible about it. All right, Joe, the all-time series with the Golden Eagles sits at 51-26 in favor of the Orange. Syracuse has taken the last four games between the two teams. You have to go back to February 28th, 2018. Battle scored 25 points in that 85-70 loss. Just before all this COVID BS started, Cuse bagged a 84-71 win on March 3rd of 2020. Starting lineup was Girard, Boeheim, Sidibe, Dolezal, Hughes, 28 points, Boeheim, 21 points, Sidibe on his tear of the spring to start some of that was 12 rebounds. Syracuse and Boston College first met in 1959. The Golden Eagles would win the first three games in the first six out of nine. The Orange beat Boston College 10 straight games from 85 to 89. They met eight times in the Big East tournament. Syracuse leads that series 5-3. Joe, I'm not really like totally sure what to make of Boston College, to be honest with you, just yet, because they sit at 1-4, but their losses, I don't know. Their losses seem to be to pretty decent teams, I guess, really.
Yeah.
And they did lose to St. John's, who just barely beat Ryder. I don't know how good St. John's is. And right. It's no, just
St. John's is undefeated.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, there you go.
I don't know who they played.
Okay. Right. And so when you look at who Boston College has played, though, some pretty good teams early in the season, and it's just hard to get a gauge on them. So what do you got?
Right. Well, I mean, what'd they lose? They lost to Florida, Minnesota, St. John's. I think there was another good team, and they beat Rhode Island. Boston College, Jim Christian's back for a seventh year. they had an injury early to, I forget his first name, but Adams. He was the transfer that was supposed to kind of help the team, and don't really know where it's going to go from there. But they've kind of been a thorn in the side of some teams. They lose games that they shouldn't lose, and then they win games that they shouldn't win as far as ACC play goes.
Villanova was the other one, by the way.
Oh, yep.
Villanova. I was grabbing a frosty beverage, and I was muted. So,
yeah.
Number three.
So this team basically, for the most part, has kept the same starting five for all the games. They have Makai Ashton Langford, guard, transfer from Providence, so we haven't seen him. Don't really know how good he's going to be, but he only averaged about 9 points a game, but I know he's got the most assists, along with guards Jay Heath and Winston Tabbs, who's basically averaging close to 30 points combined a game. Those are the other guards. And then they roll out 6'7 forward CJ Felder and 6'8 forward Stephon Mitchell. That's the guy that I always worry about.
Yeah.
He's that guy for Boston College where I'm like, this guy still is playing. I thought he was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he reminds me of old boy from UNC. Well, come on, help me out.
All over the place, huh?
The old boy from UNC was like, man, this guy still plays?
Who, Tyler Hansbrough?
No. Guy with the beard.
That's how I felt with Tyler Hansbrough, too.
Huh?
Oh, Luke May?
Yeah, Luke May. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, they have a decent starting lineup. It's just obviously they go short, right? So, I mean, 6'8", their tallest guy there. And they've really only gone about seven deep. They bring James Karnick off the bench. He's a 6'9 senior transfer from Lehigh. And they also have a three-point sharpshooter, Rich Kelly,
Yay.
Coming off the bench. Yep, exactly. He's 6'1 senior, and he's a transfer from Quinnipiac, in which he shot, he shot a career, I don't know, 40-something percent at Quinnipiac. I think it was 39% as a freshman, 45% as a sophomore, and 42% as a junior. It's 31%, 45%, 39%. Either way, he's averaging pretty much around 40% for his career. He comes off the bench and shoots a ton, too. So, the good part about the situation in this team is that we're going to have kind of the height advantage, and we're not going to have those 6'11 animals from Rutgers that's we're going to have to try to box out with Mark and everything like that. Now, obviously, Stephon Mitchell, he's active, and he's definitely plays bigger than what he is. But we're not dealing with two 6'11 guys, right? But the bad part of this is that they start three guards. They got guys like Tabs and Heath in the starting lineup that can both shoot threes, and then Rich Kelly coming off the bench. So you know kind of where I'm going with this. There's obviously got to be a huge change in our offense because we know where we've gotten killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not they got a guard, like whether or not this Ashton Langford transfer from Providence or some of these guards can get in the lane to allow those open three-pointers. That's a different story because Rutgers guard Young was really, really fast. But nonetheless, if they see the tape and they know their team, that's how they're going to play. They're not going to beat us on the boards or in height or anything like that, but they can spread us out and they can hit threes if they get that penetration. So that's going to be the main thing. They got guys that can score. It's just we have a situation where we have the height. So we got to be able to use that stuff to our advantage. But first thing first, like if we're not, unless Boston College just comes out and completely just shoots a crappy percentage, that's the first thing we need to stop.
Right. And obviously, discipline defense. It's our biggest problem. We haven't had too much trouble scoring. It's the discipline. And also, you know, we get Buddy back, Joe. So here's my exit question, okay, as we wrap things up. Coach has said, you know, Buddy has been probably practicing and hitting the weights and things like that more than anybody, right? So he's at Coach's house. Coach got a court and I'm sure all the other amenities that one might want. right?
Right.
So, you know, Buddy quarantining and just shooting hoops, angry with a chip on his shoulder. But being out of game,
hopefully keeping his cardio up.
Right. And, but right. And keep that, keep conditioned and keep the stamina up. But out of game preparation, Joe, is that going to be, how do you feel about Buddy coming back? Well, how do you feel this is going to go? Is he just going to light it up? What are we going to see, you think? Just opinion. You don't have to overthink it.
Well, at this point, nothing with him would surprise me. I think if anything, Kadari Richmond, the emergence of him and some of these other guys and what they've been doing, I think where he loses is playing the actual game with the team and getting that, just like we talk about football all the time, getting that continuity with that team. That's where he loses, because
right,
he really hasn't played a lot of time
right
on the court with Kadari. And, you know, lo and behold, that might be our best lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, now you're talking about maybe Boeheim has a change. Jim has a change of heart as far as, well, you know, I want to start Kadari. I'm going to have him in there. Well, Buddy's never been in there with Kadari in a live game, right?
Right.
So that's really where I think it's going to affect him. I think I've never seen an issue with Buddy's cardio. I've never seen an issue with him coming in from any type of situation. And I mean, yeah, he might be off for a little while, but he's eventually going to hit his shots. So I'm not worried about that as much as it was that he lost the continuity, the chance of gaining continuity with different lineups and maybe players that he hasn't played against. That's really where my fears lie as far as Buddy goes. And really, too, the type of competition that Boston College has played. Like, they're 1-4, but come on. I mean, Villanova, Florida, St. John's,
that's what I'm saying.
Minnesota.
You can't judge them by their record.
No, you can't judge them by the record. And they've obviously played better teams. So, you can't go by that, right? You just can't.
I guess
we'll see, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We don't really know what we got as far as – I haven't watched Boston College, so you know, I haven't got to watch them play, so I don't really know what we got. But they do have guys that can shoot, and that always worries me, and they know their game plan is going to be everybody else's game plan, and they're going to probably try to obviously mimic exactly what Rutgers did, because obviously it worked. So
not just Rutgers.
Well, yeah, I know, but Rutgers did it very well.
Right.
They did.
I'm just saying that they're not going to run in there and Boston College be afraid of, like they've played Villanova and all these other teams. So
right.
They're going to be ready to go. And Tabs, he was hurt last year, and I know he's probably been chomping at the bit to come and play ACC ball. So I don't think it's going to be as easy or – I mean, I don't know if anybody thinks it's going to be easy, but when you look at the record, and I don't know what Vegas is going to put it at, but – whatever it is, it's probably going to be closer.
Yeah, and obviously we can't play ACC Picks of the Week because they don't come out in time. So, anyway, all right.
Well, we could with football. There's still 4 games with football, but Syracuse football is over, so we're not going to go that route.
Yeah, man, it's no fun to me.
I mean, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech's playing right now.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll have to turn that on after this. All right, I got to go. So
you love Kenny Pickett.
I mean, I love ACC football. I can watch any NCAA game, but I mean, I especially enjoy ACC.
Definitely ACC. Yeah.
All right. I want to thank all of you for your participation and fan feedback, and obviously thank you for listening. I want to thank the Bet Online, Manscaped.com, and that's it. And I want to thank Joe. He's pointing at himself. I'm going to thank him, and that's it. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.